Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified, and we're edified. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Matthew 28. Amen. All right. Matthew's Gospel 28. I want to look at spiritual development or developing your spiritual life. How do you develop your spiritual life? You know, there's a spiritual life that we all have to know. As a younger Christian, one of the first things I came to know is that man is a spiritual being. You need to realize that quickly, that man is a spiritual being. And that's why when people die, their bodies are here, but they are no more there. That shows you that man is not just a piece of flesh, man is a spiritual being. Okay, so quickly, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's the word power, given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, when he says, all authority is given unto me, and don't forget that the church began from that instruction. What you call the church, the body of Christ, began from that instruction. In Matthew's Gospel 16, that conversation he had with his disciples said, who do men say that I am? And then some say, you are John the Baptist. Others say that you are Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he asked him, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus replied and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you, alright, and he said, blessed art thou, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16 from above verse 13, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and wherever things you bind on earth are bound in heaven. Wherever things you lose on earth, that's Jesus talking to Peter now, Matthew 16, 18, 19, are also loosed in heaven. So the church commenced from there, which means the background of this discussion, or this conversation we find in Matthew 28, 18, has to do with his death. If you backtrack a bit, you see that there was a conversation over his death, whether he had risen or not. Matthew 26 was where he was captured. Matthew 27 was where he was crucified and buried. Matthew 28 from verse 1 will be the account of his resurrection. Some doubted it, some believed it. And then eventually he now spoke to his own apostles. Now, let me just give you a key statement there. When you say he said to them, oftentimes in the way it's written, it's not like he just looked at them and said, all authority in heaven was given to me, bye-bye. It's more phrased like he kept saying to them. Which means that when you summarize what he taught them and the content of what he taught them, this is what he kept saying to them. It's what you call logos. Logos is the message itself. Not you. When you mention the logos, you won't quote scriptures, even though scriptures are in the background. Logos means this is the message eventually. This is the eventual message that he taught them. So he's teaching the scriptures, and then in teaching the scriptures, this is the message that he taught. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Now, if you go back to the Luke's account, where the same account or the same event was recorded, Luke's Gospel 24, 25 to 27, he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then to enter into his glory? Luke's Gospel 24, 25, 26. Then beginning at Moses 27, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now later on in 44, Luke's Gospel 24, he says, these are the words that I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So which means that 45, then he opened ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. What it means is that Jesus, 46, And then he said to them, or again, he kept saying to them, thus it is written, and it behoved Christ, to suffer and then to rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance, verse 47, and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Then verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Then in 49, it says, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, for I send the promise of my Father upon you. So look at the two things I just mentioned. Matthew 28, all authority is given to me. Luke's Gospel 24, according to the scriptures. So which means that everything that Jesus taught in his resurrection was according to the scriptures. So everything he taught in his resurrection was according to the scriptures. Now, what was the issue? The issue was, if he is the Savior, why did he die? If you look at the conversation again in Luke's Gospel 24, precisely verse 21, where he met Cleopas and his friend, and they said, We thought that he was the one that will redeem Israel. If he's the one that will redeem Israel, why should he die? You know, this is 2020, and the truth is that many of us have those kind of queries. Those queries. If God is for us, if there's a God in heaven, or if it's true that Jesus Christ died for us, why is this happening? And they oftentimes have those queries because, and we oftentimes too, because just like those guys on the road to Emmaus, they did not believe the scriptures, or they did not understand it. So those queries are queries of lack of understanding. So they felt, why would he die? If he is the Savior, why would he die? In other words, they had an expectation of who the Savior should be. They felt he should come around, take over the kingdom, set up his own government, upstage Herod, drive out Pilate and Caesar, and then declare, should I say, bonanza for everybody. So he kind of didn't meet their expectations. And we all have to be careful where we are actually forming God in our image after our likeness. You know, you can have, this is what God ought to be. And that's a whole lot of idol worship. An idol is what you created. God is the one who created you. Praise God. You mustn't create an idol in your heart about who God should be. So, in this instance, yet again, they were stunned at the death of a Savior. Now, what did Jesus simply do to them? In the Luke's account, verse 25 to 27, turn in there quickly. In 25, he says, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken. In other words, when he says the prophets, he's referring to the scriptures of the prophets. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You know, till tomorrow, we still have believers who cannot see Jesus as God in the Old Testament. They say, no, in the Old Testament, God was very powerful. He's all conquering. When he's a man of war, you know. He's a man of war, mighty man of war. When he speaks, the thunder roll. But the Jesus is the B part. Or the... or the born-again aspect of God. Jesus is God's repentance, something like that. But the truth is, you are not any different, if you think like that, from those guys on the road to Emmaus. It means there's something wrong with your understanding. Praise the Lord. So, now look at what he did. In verse 27, the Bible says, beginning at Moses. Praise the Lord. Beginning at Moses. You know, one day I was talking to a fellow, and then he was trying to quote some scriptures for me. He says, God is this one, God is that. So he was citing scriptures He will pick something from Malachi and run to Jeremiah. Move from Jeremiah, enter Esther. He will leave Esther. Punch something in Psalms. Then he will be, when he rests a bit, he will just find something in Exodus. Hey. He says, see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? I'm saying there's a problem. When he, I said, are you done? He said, no. I have scriptures. I have scriptures. I have many scriptures. He left down. I think he moved to Ecclesiastes. When he was tired in Ecclesiastes, because that one is always lamenting about vanity. He entered Ezekiel. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? I said, what did you study in school? He said, sociology. I said, if you had read your school books like this, I'm sure they will have socialized you with failure. Any intelligent person starts at the beginning. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you know the kind of students that start reading in the middle? You know those kind of students? I know you are not one of those. Which kind of students start in the middle? Those who don't come for lectures. I want to quickly read for an exam. Just say, hey, buddy, what did he say is going to come out? The man said everything. Everything? When you sign for studentship, is it half degree they will give you? Is it everything? Say, ah, hey, what about AOC? He said, ah, the man said there's no AOC. That everything, there was one guy in my faculty then, you know, we used to fear the particular course. They called it the legal system. It was in my 200 level. And there was this particular lecturer, I had heard about him before I did my matriculation. The fear of him, you almost say, please take your matric number, let me go to another school. He's still going to teach us in 200 level. We had started being fearing, not just afraid, fearing the man from 100 level. But there was one guy in my class who went to meet him in his office. He said, sir, set your questions from the sun. Bring it from anywhere. I'm going to pass this course very well. Ah, he said, he had never seen anybody do that. The reason why the guy was confident was he read the scene. He read every available textbook on that course and he actually passed it. But those of us who are afraid, we are afraid at the schedule of reading everything like that. So that's why some of us turn out very, very poor Christians. Because we don't take the scriptures seriously. So if in any, have you seen also the way people put out the news and the headlines, just headline. You say, let me give you one political one. Headline, you say, Messi leaves Barcelona. That would be some things anyway. Or Chelsea is bankrupt. That would be nice news. That would be the good news of the year. Or one more. Or they found out that all Chelsea trophies are illegal. I will do Thanksgiving service. Some of you are not laughing. I know. You are not even obedient to your pastor. Anyway. You know, by the time you start reading the thing, they will say, it is alleged. You say, what is it? It is alleged. It is believed. Anonymous sources. Unconfirmed report. But the headline doesn't say that. So, which means you have to pay attention to details. So, here, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus began. He began where you should begin. Hallelujah. Beginning at Moses. I think that's a double emphasis. Because when you say beginning at Moses, it's like saying beginning at the beginning. Because Moses is the first writer of the scriptures. Beginning at Moses. Now, that phrase, beginning, is the Greek word arche. Arche, or in the present tense continuous, archeomai. Arche is A-R-C-H-E. Now, because I've always told you that the scriptures are written in human language. If you get a hold of our recent books, one of the things we said in there, this is our God, and understand this what our readers, volume 3, we said, God's word What we call the Word of God is human language. It doesn't mean human communication. It's not human philosophy. But the language is human language. And no matter how you try, the moment you miss it in language, you can't get the content of the information. You know, in language also has different shades in its grammar. If for example, in the Yoruba language, I'm Yoruba, if you are hungry, you say, "Ebin pami," right? Now, if you know the translation of that literally, you say it's evil confession. It means hunger is killing me. And there's nothing like killing. Kill is a once and for all event. Don't say, that guy was killing him, but he survived. You get the point. So, that means it is an idiomatic expression when you say that in Yoruba language. So if you miss it and you say, ah, that guy, the guy says, "Ebin pami" in Yoruba now, which literally means, "Hunger is killing me." You say, oh, the guy is dead. The guy says, "Return to sender." Because you didn't understand the language. So, when we mention the Greek words like that, or the Hebrew words, it's because there is a language in that communication. Now, the word ake, now we know something quickly before we go too quickly or too fast, is that Jesus is teaching from where? Old Testament. Which means that every time Jesus is teaching, every time Paul is teaching, what you should have before you is what? The Old Testament. I will tell you, you must sit where they sat when he was teaching. When Jesus was teaching, they did not have Colossians. They didn't even have the book of Matthew. All they had was Genesis to Malachi. So, if he says, beginning, akeomai Moses, omosios, that means that Jesus began from Genesis. Okay? Now, if you go to Genesis, and this, pay attention here. Now, put beside this comment, John 1:1. You know, John said, in the beginning, the same word, ake, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, pay attention to that. You know, I said the Word, when Jesus said that, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, I said that's a logos. Logos is when you put everything together, this is what you have. The subject matter. Now, John 1:1 says, in the beginning, now let me hear you, let me see whether you're following me, change the word message. So, God, girl, come on, I gave you the answer. In the beginning was the message. Can we also say, in the beginning was the gospel? In the beginning was the gospel. In the beginning where? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, was the gospel. Now, you have to be very quick this morning. Put your hands in Matthew 28:18. Jesus was teaching from where? Come on, talk to me. From where? The Old Testament. In Matthew 28:18. Luke 24:27. Beginning at where? That's beginning at Genesis, right? So, put that beside it. That's how to study. So, Jesus is teaching from the scriptures. He's teaching from Moses. So, go to Genesis 1:1. That means that was where he started teaching from. Come on. Are we together, church? Are we together? Come on. So, he started teaching from where? Genesis 1:1. 1. So what did you see in Genesis 1:1 and Matthew 28:18? What is similar there? Heaven and earth. Did you see it? Did you see it? So that means that Jesus was teaching from Genesis 1:1. So when he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given me, can we say Genesis 1:1 was about me? Come on. Hello guys, you there? Are you following this? Genesis 1:1 was about me and for me. Come on. Hello guys, you get it? Should we go back again? We don't have time, Without warning yourself. So, let's quickly go over that again. He's teaching from the Old Testament, right? He's teaching from Genesis, right? So, heaven and earth given to me is the interpretation of which text? Genesis 1:1. Praise God. Let me see how you're following this. Come on. Good. Now, look at the next statement here. In the beginning. So let's go to Genesis 1:1. Now, the scriptures are in such a format that we have what you have called the Septuagint. Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Now, the Septuagint lets us know that that word arche is the Greek word. Don't forget the Old Testament is Hebrew. So, is a Greek word for the very first letter of the Bible. It's a Greek word for the very first letter of the Bible. That word is called Reshith. Genesis 1:1. The beginning. Reshith. R-E-S-H-I-T-H. Or Bereshith. Bereshith. B-A-R-E-S-A-I-T-H. Reshith. R-E-S-H-I-T-H. Or Bereshith. B-A-R-E-S-H-I-T-H. Now, I want to show you what it means. In Genesis chapter 10 and verse 10, that word, Reshith, Genesis chapter 10 and verse 10, Genesis 10:10, is the beginning of his kingdom. See that? Then Genesis 49 and verse 3. Genesis 49 and verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength. Please pay attention to that. Bereshit is used for firstborn or the first. Or what is the head? Firstborn, head. Now, Exodus 23:19, pay attention to all these details. The first of the first fruit of thy land. We're going to explore the meaning of first fruit next week. The first of the first fruit of thy land. First fruit. Exodus 34 and 26. The first of the first fruits of thy land. Then Leviticus 23 and verse 10. Leviticus. Now don't forget, I want you to pay attention to this particular text because next week I'll explore them a bit more for you. Leviticus 23 verse 10. It says, and shall reap the harvest, the B part, thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. So you have first fruit, firstborn, right? Beginning of a kingdom or authority. Why? Because the word Bereshith or the word Reshith is from another Hebrew word, Rosh. R-O-S-H. R-O-S-H, Rosh, means head. something that is the head or headquarters of maybe an organization. Head or headquarters of an organization. Genesis chapter 2 and 10. It became into four heads. Now, very critically, note this one and mark it well. Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman, that's the promise of the Messiah, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the word Bereshith also means authority. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So are you seeing that Jesus was teaching from Genesis 1:1? Come on. Is somebody following this? Are you following this? Good. Now, Paul explored this word so well in just about four verses for you to see the meaning of Genesis 1:1. Look at Colossians 1. What was Jesus talking about? Beginning at Moses. Colossians 1. Want us to read it together. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say oh me. Let the oh me quick. Be quick. Okay, let's go. Colossians 1:15. Are you there? Who, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn, let's go, of every creature. Now, where do you have image first mentioned? Genesis 1:26-28. The image, that word there is eikon, E-I-K-O-N. Now, eikon is the Greek rendering of the word image in the Hebrew. The word image in the Hebrew is the word selem. T-S-E-L-E-M. Let us make man. Genesis 1:26. In our image. After our likeness. And Jesus says here that I am the Bereshith. Paul says he is the Bereshith. So if he is the Bereshith, that means he's that image. So that means Genesis 1:26-28 was about Jesus. Was about Jesus. He says he is the image, the eikon, of the invisible God. Invisible God. The word invisible is the Greek word aorotos, A-O-R-A-T-O-S, A-O-R-A-T-O-S, which you will find in Romans 1:20, all talking about God. Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. The invisible things of Him from creation are clearly seen. Then Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. By Him were all things created, visible and invisible. 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor, glory forever. And Hebrews 11:27. So it describes God. Hebrews 11:27. Seeing Him, talking about God, who is invisible. So, what are we saying here? That Genesis 1:1 mentions the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:26, God created man in His own image after His own likeness. And Jesus said, all that authority is given me. Jesus says, the scriptures are talking about me. Which ones? Go and find out. Now, remember I told you that when we saw the word Bereshit, that you noticed that it has to do with firstborn. Remember that? Remember that? So, look at Colossians 1 and 15 again. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? Colossians 1:15. The firstborn, it says, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Firstborn. Prototokos. P-R-O-T-O-K-O-S. That's in the Greek. Prototokos is from two words. Now, separated in your notes, so it makes sense. The word pro means before. Before. Now, is that a shade of Bereshit? Is that? Very good. Before, pro. Pro, then the word tikos, where you have to yield fruit. To yield fruit. So, prototokos is another word for first fruit. To yield fruit. In Luke 2:7, it's used for Jesus, the firstborn from Mary. Now, look at Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn. Hebrews 1:6. Hebrews 1:6. When he brings the first begotten into the world. The first begotten. So if you call him the first begotten, that means he is the pro. He is before. Before. Hebrews 11:28. Which refers to Egypt. Hebrews 11:28. That destroyed the firstborn. The firstborn. Shall touch them. That's in Egypt. Hebrews 1:5. Hebrews 1:5. Referring to Jesus now. Hebrews. That's Hebrews. Revelation 1:5. Sorry for that. Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn of us begotten of the dead. So go back to Colossians now. Colossians 1 and 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and are in the earth, visible, invisible. So when we say heaven, we simply mean invisible. Alright? Then he says, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. Let's slowly read 17 to 18. Are you ready? Let's go. He is before all things, and by him. So hold on. If he's before all things, that means we're going to read him in which book? Genesis. Very good. Now, look at 18. Quickly. Let's go. Well, he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So, can we agree that Paul explored the Bereshit word to the fullest? Did you see it? Beginning, head, first, before. Beginning, head, first, before. So, Jesus is teaching from the Old Testament. And is teaching from Genesis. So if he is the first harvest, the beginning of the harvest, if he is the image of God and the firstborn. That means we need to read Genesis closely. Now, if you read Genesis again, Genesis chapter 1 now, you will discover that the concepts in Genesis chapter 1 are spiritual in nature. When he says, for example, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then the next thing he says, the earth without form and void. Tohu wa bohu in the Hebrew, which means there's chaos or nothing. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The darkness here is not darkness that happens after 7 o'clock. It's spiritual darkness. That's why the next statement is not PHCN. The next statement is not even the sun. The next statement is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he's not referring to the sun, moon, and stars. They were created afterwards. So in other words, the Bible opens up with the solution to sin and iniquity. The very first word of the Bible is where you find the solution. Let me see how you're following this, come on. The very first words of the Bible. The very first words is the solution. The solution to darkness and chaos is light. God said, light be. Now, run quickly to verse 11. And God said to the earth that was without form and void. God said to the earth that was without form and void. So everything we will see afterwards will be found in the light. In the light. I told you many times, Moses is not writing creation story. Moses is using creation as a parable to explain God's plan of salvation. So, in the light, okay, the work of the light of God in the earth that was without form and void, in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass. Bring forth. That is the Hebrew for the word tikos. Yield the harvest. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after what? Genesis 1:11. After what? His kind. After his kind. So if it's after his kind, you don't name a seed east. Let me see your hand there. Come on. Can you say Mr. Seed? So the seed is the seed of God. The seed is in itself bringing forth fruit after its kind. So stop writing and now listen. Let me see your following. So the first seed is what? I know you couldn't give an excuse because wash your mouth. But then, the first seed is the firstborn, beginning, first fruit. Okay, so that means if Jesus is the Bereshis, right? When he falls to the earth, he will bring forth. Good. So, if he falls to the earth, which is death, he will bring forth of his own kind. Let me see how you're following that. Come on. Come on, you getting this? He will bring forth after his kind. Because he is the beginning, the firstborn, the pro. Amen. Get it? So, the work of salvation will be explained also as a harvest. It will be explained as a harvest. So, you following this? Come on. Now, if that is it, now, quickly before you go further, go to Genesis 3:15, which is the anchor text for all redemption promises. Anchor text. Why do you think in Genesis 3:15, when God is going to announce what is going to happen to the head? You know, we read head in Genesis 1:1. Then another thing that happened, sin that happened, darkness. And look at Genesis 3:15. Let's read it slowly. Genesis 3:15, let's go. Everybody, are you there? Let's go. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between our seed and thy seed. It shall bruise, and thou shalt bruise. So the Savior will come as a seed. Let me try following that, come on. And bring forth fruit after his kind. So, in the work of salvation, the Redeemer is going to be explained as a seed. But the firstborn, the beginning. So if I want to get maize, alright, these days I'm a farmer actually now. If I want to get maize or I want to get corn, same thing, right? That's a word of knowledge for you. Or I want to get cassava. And I then go ahead and get a rice seed and put it down. You won't think I'm wise. I won't be wise. I have to start with what I want to get. So, how is God, what does God want to be multiplied in the earth? He says, let us make man in our own image. Can we say in our own seed? Is it working? Then he says, replenish, multiply. That's a harvest. Come on. Subdue. You don't subdue in a new thing. You only subdue when things have gone wrong. So there's darkness, now subdue. Replenish means to put back what ought to be there. Multiply. Be fruitful. How do you get fruit? See. Praise God. So Genesis 1:26 to 28 is the redemptive plan of God. Let me say the following. Come on. And he says in that redemption, it is male and female. I tell people, you can't accuse the Bible for male chauvinism or, you know, downgrading women. That didn't happen from the Bible. That happened because men made it that way. But in the beginning, glory to God. Male and female created he there. Hallelujah. Who's following this morning? So, quickly. Got hard words. Now, so, in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. It's interesting today when we say sow. First thing is money. Or pig. Matthew 13. Now, you know that parable, so don't let's go into all the details of the parable. You can go read it afterwards. Now, Jesus used the parable of sowing a seed. And then, he gives four other parables using the same analogy. And then he says, in Mark 4, that if you don't understand this parable, Mark 4, how would you understand every other parable? Mark 4. I think that's in Matthew. How would you understand? I think I went away from where the text was. And said, if you don't understand this parable, how would you understand every other one? Matthew 13. Anyway, this parable is the chiefest of all the parables that he uses. Now, before I go to the text I wanted to mention, go to Matthew 13 again and verse 34. Let's read it together. Matthew 13:34. Are you there? Matthew 13:34. I must have missed something out. Check it. Maybe it's Luke 1. Matthew 13. You there? Okay. Now, look at 34. Let's go together. All these things, let's read it together, let's go. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things that are kept secret, from where? So, he says, pay attention, that's Psalm 78 and 2. Psalm 78 and 2, where Matthew refers to, you have two words, I will open my mouth and speak in proverbs. That's the word mashal. It means illustrations. Illustrations. It says, and that is how prophets are spoken since when? The foundation of the world. Now look up, guys, look up quickly. What is the foundation of the world? Genesis. Which means the book of Genesis 1 is a parable. A parable of God's work of salvation. That's why Jesus said, this is the chiefest of the parables. Because a seed means you are beginning something new. So, Genesis chapter 1 is God's plan of a new creation. Can I have an amen? So, he says here, everything from Genesis is in an illustration. And that will help us next week when we look at the book of Proverbs very well. The book of Proverbs also is a book of illustrations. Illustrations. Using everyday examples to illustrate spiritual truth. So the spiritual truth in Genesis is what? Salvation and redemption. Can we say new creation? Can we say the church? Come on, can we say the church? Can we say being born again? Oh, very good. So, in other words, the book of Genesis, the first chapter, is a parable of God's plan of salvation. But why would he use parables? Why did Jesus use parables? Matthew 13. He used parables because he said, verse 11. Let's read together. Come on. Verse 11. It's given to you, Matthew 11, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. Verse 12. Shall be given, whosoever has more abundance, but whosoever had not, from him shall be taken away from what he has. Verse 13. Let's read verse 13 very loud. Let's go. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because the seeing and hearing... verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you see, you shall perceive. 15. For these people's hearts is rascals, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes are closed. Let us tell them that you see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and you understand that you be confident and heal them. So, parables are used for who? Those who do not believe. Are we right? Are we right? So, why then is Genesis 1 a parable? You think Genesis 1:1 was written to the saints community? No. It was written to a nation, that's Israel, who fit this description. Exodus 32. You learning something? You learning something? Exodus 32. How would you be like Moses? You took them out of Egypt. You say, give me some minutes. I just want to have, I want to go for a prayer group meeting. And by the time you are coming back from prayer group meeting, they already have an idol. Those guys, they're very, very fast. They don't waste time. They said, Pastor has gone too far. We can't see him. Where is he? I called his number. He's not going. Where is he? Is he also on lockdown? He's on lockdown. Ah. Let me present it with my life. He just called Aaron. You. Are you not his number two? You can't even follow him. That means you are useless.
Ah, who can I say I'm useless?
Cannot useless. Give us something to worship. And Moses came back. And look at this. They had started worshiping idols. Verse 9. I've seen these people, and behold, it is what? You know, stiff necked? It's not that your neck is not moving. It means people that are rebellious. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Hallelujah. And verse 20. Let's take it together. And he said, let's go. Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. Let's go. And he said, let's go, come on. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. So, if you were Moses, how would you communicate God's plan of redemption to them in? So, Genesis 1 is a parable of who? Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me see how you understand that. Why? Because hearing, they don't hear. Seeing, they can see. So he uses what they know. Oh, you know about seed? Oh yeah, I have PhD in agronomy, agriculture. Okay. When you put the seed into the earth, what happens? It dies. Yes, it dies. Yeah, yeah, right. So it brings forth after its kind. Okay. That's what God's going to do in his son. That looks like a good idea. That's exactly what he's doing here. So it's not a book to start arguing with people on Twitter about how long was the earth created. You are using the wrong book. Go and get science books to describe how the sun is. Don't say, no, it's one day. Say, how can it be one day? 7 days. It's 6 days. The earth is 6,000 years old, 8,000 years old. What does that do? You are having an intellectual debate, not preaching the gospel anymore. So, the book of Genesis chapter 1, obviously, let's begin close here. It's a book of the plan of God's salvation. And so, who is the sower? God is the sower. Hallelujah. I said God is the sower. God sowed the seed of his son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. You there? God sowed the seed of his son. In Luke 8:11, the same parable. Luke says, let's take it together, Luke 8:11, are you there? Let's go. Come on, let's go. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Hallelujah. The seed is the word of God. And the word of God is a person. Glory to God. The earth is God's harvest field. And he has sown his son into the earth. The earth speaks of man. Heaven speaks of God. And God sows his son in our hearts. We're going to see all that next week. Amen. John 12:24. Let's close on that. You learn something? John 12:24. Let's read together. Amen. Let's go. For verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. If it dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. Hallelujah. So the first thing you need to realize in spiritual development, right, is the seed of God that is bringing forth fruit. We'll see all that next week. You're blessed. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. Thank you.